Now, if you live in Sydney, there is a pretty good chance that you're renting. You don't need me to tell you all about the bonkers housing prices that we do see in this city. Well, last Thursday, the Minister for Innovation and Better Regulation, Matt Keane, introduced some long-awaited changes to the Residential Tenancies Act, and it's going to affect the way you live if you're a renter. Joining us on the line to tell us a little bit more is Leo Patterson-Ross. He's a Senior Policy Officer from the New South Wales Tenancy Union. Leo, thanks so much for speaking to us this morning.
Good morning, Tess.
So could you tell us a bit about the changes that are being pushed through this time around?
Yeah, look, so these really come out of a review that happened in 2016. So we have been, there's been a long round of consultation to get us to this point. And they are quite broad-ranging changes. So there's things like introducing a new definition of what constitutes a fit for habitation, and we're calling it a minimum standard, but really it tells landlords what they have to do to ensure that the place is fit for habitation. And it includes some really good stuff like adequate ventilation, adequate natural lighting, waterproofing, and making sure that things aren't about to collapse, particularly balconies, stairs, and so on. There's other changes like rent increases in outside of a contract period will be limited to once a year. And one of the big headlines has been that domestic violence survivors will be protected from liability for the damage caused by the perpetrator and other costs that really they're the victims of. But in the current system, they often end up paying for.
Okay, wow, that's one that sort of slides under the radar a lot, I suppose, if you are a victim of domestic violence. Mm. What's the current tenancy agreement looking like?
So, the often what happens with people experiencing domestic violence is that they feel trapped in the contract because of these costs. And often, survivors of domestic violence are women. Often they're the ones with their name on the tenancy agreement. And so they're going to be held liable if, someone puts their fist through a wall or does a whole lot of damage or is engaging in more financial harm, like withholding money from them and putting them into rent arrears and things like this. So it is really dire, and the Women's Legal Service has done an excellent job at shepherding through these changes and getting them as good as we can. There's still a couple of things that we would have liked to see with these changes in domestic violence realm, because some people find it very difficult to engage with the justice system, and one of the changes here is that you won't necessarily need to have gone through the complete process of the criminal system in order to access these protections, but you will have to go to essentially a doctor to get them to make a declaration that you're experiencing domestic violence. And really that, we probably could have seen some other experts able to make that declaration to ensure that people don't have to engage in the full justice system when, often it is fairly obvious that there is some domestic violence happening. And there are other experts like social workers in the world who are trained and able to make that kind of judgment.
Well, it seems like, the situation's moving forward in regards to domestic violence, which is, really good to see. But overall, do you think that these changes are favouring, I guess, the landlord or the tenant, or is it a pretty even split?
Look, unfortunately, a lot of the good changes that are being proposed are really being let down because the government hasn't addressed the big fundamental flaw in our renting system, which tips essentially everything in favour of the landlord, which is the no-grounds evictions, where a landlord can say, either at the end of the six-term contract or outside the contract, that the tenant has to leave and doesn't have to give any reason why. Now, that there's always is a reason. It's just that they don't have to say why. And that means that, a landlord who wants to move back in to live in the premises themselves gives the same notice as a landlord who's retaliating against you for asking for repairs or disputing a rent increase or asking them to stop coming round at 2 a.m. on a Sunday night. We really think that there needs to be more balance in the eviction process. And that a landlord, if they want the property back, they should have to say why they want it back. And we think that seems very reasonable. It's the way that most of the world does it. Australia is one of the few holdouts in this front. And What it does is undermine your ability to enforce all your other rights. So, as I said, you know, when you want a repair done, many tenants, some tenants know that they can be evicted without grounds. Other tenants just know that the landlord doesn't get around to ever fixing it, and they don't feel very powerful in getting it fixed. And the reason they don't feel powerful is actually because the landlord knows that they can evict the tenant without having to give a reason. And so there's no real incentive for them to actually get moving. Now, some landlords are very good and they'll do the repairs and it's all fine. But, you know, the way the reason we put in laws is because not everyone does the right thing all the time.
And so if we gave you a magic wand and all of a sudden you were able to make any other changes that you guys would like in the through the tenancy union, what other changes would you like to see?
Yeah, so I could probably go all day, but look, the really key ones are obviously the no grounds evictions. We change that to a reasonable grounds system. I think at the moment, a lot of people don't realise that there's thousands of people living in share housing accommodation who aren't covered by the Residential Tenancy Act because of a odd rule that came in 2010, where you have to have a written agreement with your head tenant in order to be covered. And a lot of share houses don't have written agreements. So we'd write those people back in. They were tenants before that change. They should be again. We would change the rules on pets to ensure that, you know, a tenant is an adult. They've entered into a legally binding contract. They should be held responsible as an adult. And we think it's weird that tenants have to ask permission from their landlord, like a mum and dad, to say, please, can we have a pet? You know, we're legally responsible for any damage and cleaning that the pet causes, and we should be responsible for the animal's welfare and make sure that they, you know, are getting enough exercise, they've got enough space, that the property is a suitable one, but that test should be with the tenant to make, and they should be held responsible for that decision, rather than at the moment letting the landlord decide. Look, and we've got, as I said, a whole list of other tweaks and things to change. But I think those are the three key ones that would really push things forward. And unfortunately, none of them are in the bill. That said, the bill in Parliament is trying to do some good things. And really, a lot of it could be fixed simply by including no grounds. And so we know that there are going to be amendments moved through the Parliament this week by Labor and the Greens, who will push for an inclusion of no grounds amongst a range of other things, I'm sure, and that will help. And so we're really encouraging Parliament to support those amendments, and so that really means that we're looking to the upper house crossbench to support those amendments. We've had a letter writing campaign going on over the weekend, and we've had, I think we've hit 500 letters in just, you know, 2 or 3 days. This all came very quickly, and so there's been a big response from people really showing that, you know, this is a big issue for people. And it's across New South Wales as well, you know. This isn't just an inner-city issue, although obviously there's concentration of renters. We've got some of the biggest seats in the biggest kind of renting populations in places like Newtown. But, you know, one of the actually biggest renting populations is also Parramatta. Sometimes people don't think that actually places like Mosman are really high renting populations. And in a lot of regional towns, you know, particularly ones with universities, they have really high renting populations in the middle of town, which often doesn't show up in stats when you look at the whole seat. But these are issues that affect people across the state, and we really need to sort of modernise our Tenancy Act. And unfortunately, without getting rid of no grounds, we're just not going to do the trick.
We'll definitely keep an eye on it. Leo, thanks for speaking to us this morning.
No worries. Thanks, Heather.
That was Leo Patterson-Ross from the New South Wales Tenancy Union filling us in on some of the recent changes to the Residential Tenancies Act.